Ah, what a fantastic track. I Wouldn't Give You Up, Ecstasy, Passion and Pain there from 1974. And on the line, live from America, this is Barbara Roy. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you very much. And hello, audience.
Thank you. So tell me, Ecstasy, Passion and Pain. I've got your LP and there's not a bad track on it. It's you were formed in 1973, but your musical career, it predates that. Do you come from a musical family?
Absolutely. My entire family was musically inclined. There were seven of us who played guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Three of us played piano. And I think, and I have a nephew that plays saxophone. They either played an instrument or sang. Either sang or played an instrument, one or the other.
Right.
So we were totally musically inclined.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Because you played guitar in the band as well as vocals and songwriting, didn't you, in Ecstasy, Passion and Pain?
Absolutely, yes.
But also as part of a duo starting, recorded in 1963?
Yes, my niece Brenda, she and I are a year and a half apart in age.
Right.
And we just clicked with the music. We started writing songs at early age. And someone heard us in New York and decided to record us, and my sister was our manager at that time. So
awesome.
Brenda and I recorded on an Atlantic subsidiary label called Heidi, H-E-I-D-I.
Right.
And we recorded, I guess about six or seven songs, maybe six to eight songs,
mm-hmm.
including the flip side.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Brenda, did she decide to start a family, or did she get disillusioned with the industry? Because you split up, didn't you, in 68?
She didn't get become illusioned. She was, she got married.
Oh, right.
She decided to...
Yeah, that'd do it.
Quit the business. That happens to us. And she got married to a young man, and they had a family. So I was left by myself.
Oh dear.
So after Brenda left the duet, I joined up with Inez and Charlie Fox.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you remember,
yeah,
Inez and Charlie Fox. They had this big hit called "Mockingbird."
Mm-hmm. Didn't they do Tightrope as well?
I'm sorry?
Tightrope, was that another one of theirs?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was another one. I did guitar work behind them in the studio, recording studio as well, and I worked with them on stage as their guitarist for a few years.
Great.
For 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Great. And then, of course, you managed to secure a deal with Roulette.
Yes, I joined up with a group who was forming at the time. The people that you see on the album cover,
uh-huh.
All of them are not the original Ecstasy, Passion and Pain.
Oh.
The original Ecstasy, Passion and Pain was forming during the time right after I left Inez and Charlie Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They were forming a group. It was Ron Smith, William Conway, Joseph Williams. There was just three of them, and they needed a guitarist. And so Joseph Williams, who was the bass player,
mm-hmm.
and I knew each other from the past, from working together in other groups. And he called me and asked me if I would be interested in joining them. I said, "Oh, I don't know. You know, at that time I was carrying my son. I was pregnant with my baby. Yeah, and." I told him, I said, "No, I don't want to do anything right now. I'm in my seventh month, and I'm, you know, I don't want to,
wow.
I don't want to break anything."
No, of course not.
So he finally talked me into going to one of their rehearsals, and I went and auditioned, and the leader at that time was Ron Smith, the keyboard player,
mm-hmm.
and Ron asked me to do a song. So he could hear me and hear what I, you know, play and sing. So I did, I forgot the song, Let It Be Me.
All right.
I sang Let It Be Me, and I played the song. And before I could get through 16 bars of it, he said, "That's enough, that's
You're
enough.
Hired.
You're hired. I want you. Would you play with us, you know? I said, yeah, man, of course I would love to. So that's how I joined the group. Well, we played. There was only four of us.
Right.
At the time. The original group was only four. Three men and me. And we went around to different clubs in New York City and New Jersey and around the surrounding areas. And we did shows, you know, in the nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we met up with Phil Braxton, who became our manager at the time. And we were playing at a club called Cleon Jones and Outfielder's Lounge
uh-huh.
in Long Island, the Outfielder's Lounge. Cleon Jones and Tommy Agee, those are two baseball players that played with the Mets
right.
at the time, New York Mets. And they had a nightclub, and that was kind of like our home base, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they Braxton called one of the men at Roulette Records
mm-hmm.
and invited him to come and hear us. And that was Fred Balin. Fred was the executive producer at Roulette Records. He came down and listened to the group, and he liked us very much. And that's how we got on the label. That label.
Fantastic. And in 1974, only a year later, you say you had a completely different lineup a year later. How did that happen?
A different lineup. Yes. Well, actually, there were some problems in the group, and we had to bring in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that. Ron was replaced with Ron Ford. Ron took the place of Ron Smith. And Althea Smith, which is no relation to Ron Smith. We call her Cookie. She became our drummer.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. She became our drummer, and then we hired a percussionist, Carl Jordan,
mm-hmm.
whom we just lost recently. He passed away last year. Yeah. And then my longtime friend, Joe Williams, on the bass.
Right.
And, of course, Barbara Roy on lead guitar and vocal.
Uh-huh.
And I was the only singer. There was no one else that sang but me.
Right, and you ended up being principal songwriter for the band as well, didn't you?
Say it again.
You ended up being principal songwriter for the band. You wrote most of the stuff.
Yes, I did. I wrote 7 songs out of 10 on the album.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Great album, and
yeah.
The single release from that LP was a tune called "Ask Me," and we're going to play that now.
Tell me what you want me to do.
So there's a single release from the 1974 eponymous LP from Ecstasy, Passion and Pain. Barbara Roy is on the phone live for America. Barbara, great track, great LP.
Thank you.
How come that was the only album released? How can that be with so many great tracks?
Well, you know, I chalk it up to the fact that the company did not know what they were doing.
Fair answer.
You know, they never listen to the artists. We try and tell them certain things and give them our opinions. They look right over our heads, actually. They listen, but they don't hear us.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know about those days, but nowadays I think music's run by accountants rather than music lovers, isn't it? Was it the same then?
Mm-hmm. I would think so. Everybody is doing their own thing now, you know, not using companies per se, mostly.
Mm, good thing.
Yeah.
And your backing band on the album, you used MFSB from Philadelphia International Records.
That's right, right straight out of the Philadelphia. Their sound was had become a great entity in the music field, and it was so Bobby Martin, I think Bobby Martin, who was our music producer, had a connection with Roulette Records.
Right.
And so they wanted him to do my music because he was doing, he did the Spinners, and he made a lot of hits for a lot of other artists, and they wanted to use him. And I met Bobby, and it was a wonderful meeting with him and working with him. And it was just beautiful. I love what they did, Eddie. I had written the songs that I had written. I had them on tape, and the company listened to them. They chose what they wanted to use, and they sent them to Bobby. And Bobby just wrote around what my guitar and my vocals were doing. So the arrangements were actually my compositions.
Wow.
Yeah, and so what he did, he just added instruments to what was already there.
Great, created a score from it. Lovely.
Yes, and it worked out really, really well.
Mm, they did. But I mean, there were a further 9 tracks that you recorded but never saw released. That's such a shame.
I don't understand why they didn't. Well, I do know why, because they started to having problems with the group.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know, I guess they just had second thoughts about putting our music out there, because they were not sure as to whether they should or not because of the controversies that were going on at the time.
But in New York City in 1974 must have been such a vibrant place to live, especially in the music business. There was so much going on.
So much going on. So many good things going on. And so many bad things going on as well.
Yeah, life's natural balance.
Pardon me?
Life's natural balance.
Yeah, kind of a natural balance, you know. But
so
some things happened that were not fair. Others, you know, we had to go along with it. You know, if we wanted to survive, it was a survival kind of a thing after a while, you know.
Yeah, so as a band, were you a studio band, or did they work you hard and you had to tour a lot?
Well, actually, the studio band, we use, you mean when we travel?
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes, like the 70s bands, especially, I know it's not unrelated, Patrick Adams, he's quite renowned for just getting some musicians together, putting an LP out, and then disbanding the band, whereas Ecstasy, Passion and Pain, I don't think they were like that. Did you tour, or did you only do studio cuts?
Oh, yes. Well, the only 3 people out of the group that they chose to play on the session. And that was the bass player and myself. I mean, 2 of us, the bass player and myself.
And
they used Carl too, Carl Jordan on percussion. They used him on 1 song, I think. And as a matter of fact, the 3 of us were the only ones that signed the recording contract.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's weird. It's very, very weird. But we were all called, the group, actually the company wanted me, they didn't want the group.
Right.
In the very beginning.
Yeah.
They didn't want the group, they wanted Barbara Roy.
Mm.
And I told them I will not leave the group because they hired me, I mean originally, you know.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't find my and in my heart to do that to them, so I stayed with them.
Good, very laudable.
Stayed together.
And you stayed with Roulette until 1977? That was your last. That was your last release on that label, wasn't it? And then you formed your own record label.
Well, actually, I did not. That Barbara, that B. Roy, Roy B. Records, is Roy Birmingham.
Oh right. Oh, I assumed it was Roy Barbara.
That was his label, but because we have the same initials, people thought it was my label.
Right, me included.
But the name Roy, Barbara Roy, I used that as a stage name in memory of my father, whom I didn't know very well because he passed away when I was only 5 years old. So in memory of him, his name was Roy, Roy Gaskins. So in memory of him, I called myself Barbara Roy.
Ah, lovely. Well, in 1981, then, the Roy B label released a dance track of yours, labelled as Barbara Roy and Ecstasy, Passion and Pain, and that track was If You Want Me, and I'm going to play that next.
Yes.
We'll be right back. And so there's the third single, third release, rather, chosen by tonight's studio guest Barbara Roy, and 1981 release on Roy B Records, If You Want Me. Barbara, what a great track.
Thank you.
Especially after quite a quiet period since 77. That was the first release of Ecstasy, Passion and Pain on a completely different label. How did you come to be on Roy Birmingham's label?
Well, the group actually dispersed around 75 or 76. And Roy B came to me. Well, we knew him before, but he came to me and asked me if I would be interested in recording on his label.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Roy because, you know, he seemed to be an honest, straight-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about it and had our lawyers to draw up a contract, and I signed it. We signed it and came up with the music. Well, I wrote If You Want Me.
Yeah.
They have someone else's name on there on the record along with mine. But that's not, it's an error, and they never changed the error.
Mm, I've heard that story many times.
You know, so we came up with it, with that song, and the flip side, I think, was, I forgot the flip side. It's been a while since I've listened to that music. But anyway, it was Roy B, his label.
Great.
If You Want Me, and I had my niece Jocelyn Brown, and Elaine Gaskins,
right,
to do the background for me.
Oh, lovely, because Jocelyn was working really hard at the time as well, wasn't she? She was a backing singer in part of the Patrick Adams Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Following that, 5 years later, you got snapped up by RCA. That must have been that must have been great.
Yeah, Paul Simpson was the producer. Paul introduced me to RCA. And wanted me to do some music with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a song called Gotta See You Tonight. And there was another one. I can't remember the name. I don't have that down in front of me. But it was a wonderful recording. And it came out at a good time. But I just don't think they had enough push behind it.
Right.
Enough marketing behind it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it could have gone all the way had they marketed it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good song.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course you were still an RCA employee. In 1989 you recorded as part of a super group, as they're now known, Togetherness. Tell me about them. There were some names in there.
Okay, now from what I can remember, that was that's very vague in my mind, because it was such a quick thing, seemingly. Let's see. Rochelle Fleming, yes, I remember Rochelle and Lolita Holloway.
Mm.
Will Downing, I remember those three very well. We did some. We did the song together. That was kind of like We Are the World. We are the world.
Yes, I remember that
we
one.
We are
yeah.
the children. Something like that. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was very good. It was very good.
Lovely.
I enjoyed that song. You
mentioned Loretta Holloway. That's not the first time you'd worked with her, is it? Because am I right in thinking you sang background on her Hit and Run single?
They tell me I did. I did
priceless.
So much background work, and during that time, most people were not well known. So, you know,
yeah.
I didn't even know who I was working with, actually, until way later.
Wow. Great stuff.
You know. Lolita Holloway. She's a beautiful voice, that
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, and she's passed away as well, hasn't she? Bless her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Rochelle Fleming and I have done some work together, not in the recent years.
Oh, really?
Yes, here in mm-hmm. New York and New Jersey.
Recorded or just live acts?
No, just live acts.
Oh, right.
Live shows.
You see, why don't I live in New York? Why don't I live in New York? So, are you working on anything new at the moment? Are you still?
I am. It is. I'm doing this with another gentleman here. I live in Fort Washington, Maryland now.
All right.
And I've met some dynamite musicians and producers here. One of the producers is Eric Washington.
Right.
And Eric has been my friend now for like 15 years. And we do music together, he's producing me. And just as we were at the end of completing everything, he became ill.
Oh dear.
And he had to was entered out of the doctor's office, and he couldn't work with me for a while. So but we're still, you know, going to finish that music and put it out there. It isn't completed yet. But you know, when you're trying to do something right, the devil always try to get in your way.
It's got to be right, though, hasn't it? It's got to be right.
But you got to keep pushing.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. So, do you know how long's a piece of string? Do you know how long it's going to be before it gets released? Because there'd be a lot of people very interested in hearing that.
I don't know.
Scheduled for this year, next year?
I don't believe it's going to make this year. It might. It may not. But. Well, sure, next year.
Okay, well, keep me abreast, please, and I'd be delighted to play whatever your output is.
I'd like to sing it for you.
Great, yeah, that'd be fine. Do you still write? Do you write for other people at all?
I don't write for others right now, but I do write for the people in my church.
Oh, great.
And gospel music.
Uh-huh.
And I've just finished one called Men Rise for Thee. Men Rise for Thee.
Right.
It's for the men's course.
Oh, right.
And it should be. It's a beautiful song.
Good, because gospel's been very popular at the moment, isn't it? Especially in America.
Very, very popular, and I'm leaning very, very. I have been leaning toward gospel for a while now.
Lovely.
You know, of course, I still do R&B.
Mm-hmm.
But gospel is one of the number one thing that I prefer to do.
Great. Lovely. Some great sounds. Great harmonies as well. So anyway, we're going to play out with a track called Good Things Don't Last Forever. Do you want to quickly tell me about that, please?
Good Things Don't Last Forever, written by Bunny Siegler and his partner. I don't have these names in front of me. I feel so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to know all these people's names. But anyway, this song was written by them, and they did a fantastic job on the writing. I think that was released in 1974.
Right.
I think it was. And the studio work, you know, just going into the studio because I was accustomed to it now. And I knew everybody at the studio. And it was like MFSB, everybody was like family,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
By the time this song came around, and oh man, it was like a reunion when we got together on this song.
Great
stuff. Good things don't last forever, you know. And so it was just great. That's all I can say about it. It was just great. And it went very high on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as a matter of fact, that was, when that song was out, we were hired to perform over in South Africa.
Oh, right.
1975 is the year that we went to South Africa for 3 months.
Okay, that must have been quite strange then, because that was the height of apartheid, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it was, we were greeted like nothing was ever happening. It was coming like to an end, you know. And
yeah.
I mean, people received us wholeheartedly.
Good.
You know, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll play out. Thank you once again for the interview. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I'm going to play out with Good Things Don't Last Forever. Barbara, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. You too. Love you much.
You too.
I found out that you were you.